Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this day, especially since when I sat down, I think there were three back there. There's more than that now. It's awesome. It's a little bit more like the beginning of April than the beginning of May, or should have been. Things are kind of twisted around weather-wise, I think. I actually saw some snowflakes this morning coming down. But that's okay. It is indeed a glorious day. I want to talk just briefly a little bit about some of the things that we got coming up, because it's a little bit out of the norm, but maybe it shouldn't be. On the 15th, that will be our Great Commission Sunday. Now, most of the other Alliance churches around the country are having their Great Commission Sunday today. But it didn't fit with our schedule to do that. And this is the Sunday just before I leave for General Counsel that we'll be doing it on the 15th. So I thought that actually fit better because we will be taking a special offering on the 15th, Great Commission Sunday, for the purpose of boosting the Great Commission giving to give a special offering at General Counsel. And I will be presenting that offering in part of the worship service at General Counsel. Just as you present your offerings before the Lord here. It's not like we're going to put our name on a tote board or anything like that. But we do, that it will be given in the worship service there. Just want you to know that, to be praying about that. Next week you will be receiving an offering envelope, which you can bring on the 15th for giving. In preparation for that, and also for our own church, we are indeed a church which every church needs prayer. And I've just felt this need to have a day of prayer and fasting. And from noon on Saturday, the 14th, until noon on Sunday, the 15th, we will be having prayer and fasting here at the church. You say, well, I can't be here for those 24 hours. That's okay, you don't have to be. If you can come for a portion of that time, I'll be putting a sign-up sheet next week out for people to sign up for a particular hour. I will be here the entire 24 hours. And we will conclude our time with a regular worship service, our time of prayer and fasting. If people can come to be here with me, I'm imagining I'm going to be light between the 1 a.m. and 6 a.m. section. But, you know, if anybody can be here, that'd be great. But I will be here in prayer and fasting. I would ask that you join with me at home if you can't come. And if fasting is something that you cannot do, if you cannot go 24 hours without eating because of medical conditions or because you need to take medications and you need to have food in your stomach when you take those medications, please, what I would suggest is that you simplify your diet. Go with something very basic. And do, if you would, a partial fast in that manner. So that's kind of what we have in store coming up on the 15th. I'll be talking again about this next Sunday. Please keep me in prayer and keep this all in prayer between now and then, that the Lord would indeed truly meet with us as we seek Him in prayer and fasting for blessing for the Great Commission Fund and blessing for this church. That will be our focus and purpose in our prayer and fasting for the 14th and 15th. Okay. Let's turn our Bibles to Proverbs. Chapter 9. Again, point of information for you, just if some of you like to read ahead, next week we won't be going to Proverbs 10, we'll be jumping ahead to Proverbs 31, seeing how it's Mother's Day. I found that to be an appropriate passage for Mother's Day. So we'll be doing Proverbs 31 for Mother's Day. And then we'll be doing missions, more of a missions and prayer focus, so we'll be out of Proverbs until sometime in June after that. So, again, Proverbs chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out its seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city, "Let all who are simple come and hear." She says to those who lack judgment, "Come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of understanding. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. The woman's folly is loud. She is undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house, on the seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. "Let all who are simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the teaching and instruction you have there for us. Father, we ask right now that you would send your Holy Spirit to minister to us, to give us that wisdom and understanding which we so desperately need. Father, help us to hear wisdom's call and to follow it and gain understanding. Lord, we pray now that each person who is here would hear your word and be encouraged this day. Lord, that no one would come to your banquet table and go away hungry. Father God, we pray for your blessing on your people, that you would meet with us and draw us closer with you. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach your word this morning. Lord, may I speak your word in power and in truth through the overflow of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that I am not speaking out of my own strength or wisdom or understanding, but instead, Lord, am standing firmly upon you. And Lord, let anything which is not of you be struck as if it was never spoken. May it fall upon deaf ears, and might no one give it any heed. But Lord, might each and every utterance, which is your truth, might it find its place not just in the ears, but also in our minds and our hearts and our lives as we live it out this and each day. For we pray this in Jesus' precious and most holy name. Amen. Again, we have this juxtaposition of wisdom and folly, this comparison, contrasting the differences. We have six verses on one, six verses on the other, and six verses in the middle that kind of deal with what it is to what's being presented by each of them or how people respond. I want to jump to the middle first here. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes A wicked man incurs abuse. Do not rebuke a mocker, or he will hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Instruct a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For through me your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you. If you are a mocker, you alone will suffer. We have these words here which talk about what happens. Now, I think what's interesting is if I told you, you know, a wise person learns from instruction, and, you know, a foolish man never takes in. Well, say, I'm not foolish, you know, I'm wise, you know, bring on your instruction. Isn't that kind of our attitude? I think that's part of the reason that we have this interlude here. One is the warning to those who give instruction, you know, don't expect something from that you shouldn't. Okay, if I spend my time trying to correct the mocker, I'm just inviting insult. On the other hand, I need to maybe throw it out there. Say, when we put out this, you know, those who rebuke a mocker, he will hate you. You know, but if we instruct a wise man, he will be wiser still. You know, who wants to be identified as the mocker? Who wants to be identified as a fool? Few of us say, well, hey, that's me. I want to be that. I'm not going to say that there's nobody out there who doesn't, because there's always one in the crowd. But we all want to be the wise. And when we hear this, the wise receives instruction, we go, okay, maybe I'll try to receive the instruction this time. Now let's look at the instruction, what we have here. In between, or I'm sorry, bracketing this, we have wisdom and folly. And we see that their actions and what's going on are very similar. They're similar, but they are strikingly different. Wisdom, she's gone and prepared a meal. We're told what it is on the menu. And when she calls out, she tells those, come here, eat and drink. Folly does something very similar, but we don't hear about any preparation, meal preparation. And she throws out what seems to be an invitation to come to the banquet she's providing. But there is no promise of any actual banquet. It just, at first glance, appears that there may be. Where wisdom says, come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Folly's only promise is, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. Those aren't promises, those are comments. Now, granted, who of us haven't dealt with that? Something taken in secret can be a little bit sweet, a little bit more exciting. And maybe you found that taking that something in secret really wasn't as exciting as you thought it would be. I remember the time when I was a wee lad and my dad had the case of beer out in the garage, and, you know, I took a couple bottles and I took it out in the woods and I buried it, you know, put it out there and kind of hid it for a while. And then when I had opportunity, went out to drink it. It was skunky. And that was just, it was nasty. I mean, I don't like beer anyways now. I didn't know that then, but now, I mean, it was just bad. You know, I thought, oh, see, something drink taken in secret. It's going to be... And the hype was so much more than the reality. And that's what we have. Wisdom is preparing for us a good banquet with meat and good wine. But all that is thrown out by folly is this empty, almost promise. There is no promise made here in these words. If you look at it closely, there is no promise that you're going to get any food or drink out of this, even illicit food or drink. It's a bait and switch. It's a lead you on to nothing. And that is so often exactly what the enemy is trying to do. Folly is taking us to that place of the dead in the depths of the grave. Instead of leading us to life, leave your simple ways and you will live. Choose life and the real banquet, which we have before us today. This is what wisdom has provided for us. She's prepared the meat. Christ went and died on the cross. We represent that with the bread. She's prepared the wine, the cup, the shed blood of Christ. This is what wisdom has for us. It's been prepared. And we've been called. Everyone is invited to the table. Don't be foolish. Don't be simple. She calls out, come here and receive life. Come to the real banquet. Where we have foolishness, folly, who presents the maybe promise of nothing. Ah, water. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. What is this? It's a nothing. It promises nothing. But yet, we become ensnared. And so, oh, what's this? Sweet? Delicious? Where wisdom is offering us life, we are distracted by folly's loud call. She calls on to us, even as we're attempting to walk away. It's kind of like when I used to work in the state fairs and the home shows. You know, I talk to people, hey, you want to come out to do this? And as they're walking away, you're still hollering at them. Okay, you know, come on back here. No, you don't want to go away. I got the thing that's going to help you. Now, for the record, I sold products that actually did work. But folly doesn't. Another thing about the banquet wisdom is inviting us to. How did people dine at that time? What was it like? It was fellowship. We didn't sit in a formal straight back chair, everybody separated from distance. They would lie on the ground, on the floor. They would have rugs and pillows. So, I mean, it wasn't uncomfortable in any means, but they would lie. Donna did a wonderful job with the little kids. You can ask Brandon about their Seder dinner and say, "Hey, Brandon, what did you sit on? A pillow? Did you guys like lay down at the table kind of? No, you didn't do that?" "Yeah, you did. I know you did. I saw them. All those kids did. And they laid around the table." You see, the banquet is about fellowship. When we share food with one another, it's about bonding and relationship. The Lord's table is about our relationship with the Lord. Wisdom has prepared a table for us because she wants relationship. She wants to get to know us. She wants to be intimate. She wants to be with us. She wants to bless us. Folly is just seeking to lead us astray to the grave. We need to choose one or the other. But we need to choose life. We're going to have the elders come forward and we're going to receive communion at this time. I ask that if you need prayer, that you'd come forward. Matter of fact, I'm going to get picky before we even do that. Butch said to me a couple weeks ago, didn't say nothing, boo, but grab a seat. Rachel. Have a seat.
What's this all about?
Just following the leading of the Holy Spirit, so be quiet. But I feel that we should be praying for you guys. You guys have been, your family has been under serious attack. We're going to use you as guinea pigs. We're going to pray for God's blessing upon you. And the guinea pig aspect is that I want all you to see that praying for you doesn't hurt. And it's okay. So that you can watch and see what happens to them, and if so that you're not inhibited about coming and seeking prayer for yourselves. But we're going to pray for the Hunt family and the Lord's blessing upon it. Father God, we just bring before you Butch and Rachel right now. We bring to you their whole family. Lord, they've had many difficulties come up. Lord, some have been with jobs, some have been with schooling, some have been with relations between the parents and each other, some have been with the parents and the kids, and some have been just the kids with the kids. Lord, you name it, the enemy has sought to somehow mess it up. But Lord, we know that you have a special call upon Butch and Rachel, that you've put your hand of anointing upon them. Lord, we come before you right now, and we just ask that you would give them strength for these times of trials, that what the enemy means for harm, you would turn around and use for good, that these times of trials would be things which would draw their family closer together where the enemy means to tear them apart. Lord, that they would grow stronger in their faith in you, and that their walk would become closer. Lord, we pray specifically for the healing of Chris's mind and spirit. Lord, we pray for the parental relationships, that they would be godly and holy. Lord, that those areas where relationships have been broken and hurts have been made, that there would be healing and restoration. Lord, we pray for the financial needs as Butch has gone back to school, and they seek to take care of the medical expenses and the ancillary expenses to Chris being so far away. Lord, we pray that your blessing would be there and you would care for these needs. Provide for this family. Lord, lift up their spirits. Bring alongside brothers and sisters in Christ that would encourage them and give them counsel. But most of all, Lord, might the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, be active in their hearts and lives. Lord, encourage them and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen.